I say good evening to you. I thank the Lord He's blessed us another opportunity to come to stand before you tonight, that we can come to study His Word this evening. I thank God for the day of life that He's blessed us with, and the rain, the sunshine that He's blessed us. He knows what we need this evening. Yep. He knows all about us, and I thank the Lord for that. I invite y'all to study with us tonight. Open the Word of God and begin to look and see what it has to teach us, what it has to say to us, and most of all, help us to apply His Word to our life this evening. Been the Lord's business. We will start in Matthew chapter 26, and then we'll go from there, and ever how long it takes us, we'll take it and go from there. We may get finished tonight, and we may not. I really don't know. No way we can get all of it, but again, just to give you an overview of what we're going to be dealing with this evening, and hopefully something that will help you, that we can begin to shine a light brighter to this world out here living in dark times, folks. And people we work with, people we associate with, people we just meet along the way. Are they what they say they are? Are we what we say we are this evening? So we battle a lot of things in life, a lot of heartaches and troubles and trials, but I serve a God He's still able. To do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think this evening. So y'all pray for us tonight as you begin to study with us, talk with us. We begin in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. We started this a few Sundays ago in Sunday school, and we're going to try to pick back up with that this evening and see how far it will take us. And we begin to talk about this emotion or this topic of temptation. And I can survey each of you tonight. How many of you have been tempted even today? Yeah. I would almost guarantee everybody would raise their hand.
Yep.
Now, is temptation sin? We talked about that a few weeks ago. Absolutely not. It is not sin until we what? Until we act on it, until we yield to it. Then it becomes sin. We also, before we talked about, well, where does sin originate from in our body?
In our mind.
No sin that I know of. What does not first start in the mind? You think about it. That's why the Bible says in 2 and 5 of Philippians, to let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Why did he say that? Why did Paul begin to instruct the Philippian church to do that? Because where does the devil begin to attack?
Yes, sir.
He begins to attack our thought process. If he can get your thoughts going in one way, then if you don't get control of that real quick, when your thoughts get going in the wrong way, then actions begin to build up on them thoughts as well. Take those thoughts and begin to move in that direction.
Amen.
Temptation tonight is simply just a concept of us being bombarded, or us being come upon by the things of the world. Now, don't misunderstand me this evening. A lot of times, temptation, we put our own self in that state.
Yeah.
Put ourselves in situations where we don't need to be. And that begins to bring temptation in our life this evening. But listen to what the Bible says. Jesus, you remember, his time was coming to a close. He's got the boys out now, Peter, James, and John. He took them out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he went a little further away over to pray. He came back to them. And what did Jesus find? He found the boys laying there asleep. And this is where we pick up in verse 41 of chapter 26 of the book of Matthew in the King James Bible. It reads like this. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Jesus telling the boys this. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what?
Weak.
The flesh is weak. I don't care how much you work out. I don't care how much you train this physical body. I don't care how much you take care of this physical body. This flesh in itself is a weak substance.
Yeah.
This flesh, the Bible says in 51 and 5 of Psalms, David said, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me.
Yeah.
This body, because of sin, is going back to the dust of the earth. This body cannot, will not, or ever will not be saved tonight.
Yeah.
Because it is conceived in sin, because Jesus don't come and deal with the flesh, folks. Jesus comes and deals with the heart.
Amen.
Now, as the heart goes, so does the body. That's why when we begin to look at this thing, we have three parts to us. We got the soul, spirit, and mind. The soul is what is saved. The soul is our personality. The soul is our emotion. The soul is who we are this evening. The flesh is just a housing process that holds the body and holds the soul and the spirit. The spirit's going back to God who gave it. The body's going back to the dust of the earth. There's nothing we can do about those two parts. Those two are already taken care of. But it's the soul of man. That's what we sang the song, page 199, in your red back hymnal, where the soul of man never dies. It's going to live on and on and on and so forth. But I'm getting completely off topic here. Let me get myself back organized here. But when we begin to look at temptation, there's three things we're going to be talking about tonight. Number one, what are the ways of temptation? Number two, what are the woes of temptation? And number three, what are the winning ways against temptation? How can we overcome temptation? We just said here a while ago, we're all tempted in one form, fashion, or another. But let me ask you a question. We're all adults here tonight. I don't want to get too provocative. I don't want to get too in your windows this evening. But let's just be honest with you this evening. When you begin to think of temptation, what type of temptation comes to mind? Exactly. Sin of the flesh.
Right.
Temptation of the flesh. I would say this evening, the biggest temptation, if you had to prioritize the different types of temptation, the temptation of the flesh would probably be at the top of the list.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? Temptation of this body. What did John begin to say? Folks, all that is in this world is what? What's number one? The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eye.
Pride of life.
And the pride of life. Is who? Is of who? Is of the devil. And is in this world. And what did Jesus do in the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew? When he was tempted himself, he conquered all three of those temptations. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Okay? Questions tonight. Questions. Jesus just told them right here. Red letter in the King James Bible. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Why? What does temptation do to our spiritual walk with Jesus Christ? By the time we finish, hopefully you'll be able to see a better picture of that right there. Bend the Lord's will this evening. Go with me to the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis. The 39th chapter of the book of Genesis. We're going to take a look at this individual that was bombarded with temptation. Could have easily yielded to that temptation, but he chose not to. 39th chapter of the book of Genesis. You remember the story. Jacob had 12 sons. All right? The second to the youngest of that son was a man by the name of Joseph. Joseph had a younger brother by the name of Benjamin. His older brothers, his stepbrothers, if you will, but his older brothers nevertheless, got jealous of Joseph because Daddy Jacob began to show favoritism to Joseph.
Yeah.
They got jealous of him, so what do? They begin to conspire to get rid of Joseph. Some of them was even willing to kill him. But the elder brother by the name of Reuben stood up and said, nope, let's not do that. Let's not go that far. Let's just begin to get rid of him, get him out of our hair, get him out of the way. And then, you know, the story, the coat of many colors and stuff like that. If you don't know it, go back and read it. The book of Genesis, there. So they begin to sell him, and here come a caravan of Ishmaelites, a caravan of people coming by, and they sold Joseph into slavery. But understand this, folks, if you've got God on your life, preached a message here just a few weeks ago about are you spiritual? How spiritual are you in your own life? If you've worked for God, if you live for God all your life, when troubles come your way, I promise you this on the authority of God's word. If you have lived for Jesus Christ through the sincerity of your heart, gee, he will be there with you every step of the way.
Amen.
No matter what your situation is in life. And Joseph was sold into slavery. He was put in a bad situation, not of his own doing, but his own brothers began to sell him into slavery. What happened to him? Number one, Joseph began to fall into despair, no doubt. What is despair? Despair simply is the lack or the loss of hope. Think about it for a moment. Here you are. Your brothers have just kicked you out. Your brothers done told you that they didn't want you. And here you are. You go into slavery. And now here you are. You're going down into Egypt's land. You're going down into a land of bondage. You're going down into the land of the Gentiles. And you're going down there thinking at yourself, well, I have no hope. I'm leaving my family, leaving daddy back home. And here he goes. But understand this. God was in his heart. And God was always first in his life. So what happened to it? He began to go down there, and God began to bless him. And then he come into contact by the name by the man named of Potiphar. Potiphar got a hold of him. Potiphar bought him. Okay, let's pick that up in chapter 39 and verse 1 of the book of Genesis before I get too far ahead of myself. The Bible reads like this, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard of Egypt, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. That was the caravan, the band of people that his brothers sold him to, and brought him down thither, brought him to his own house. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was prosperous, was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. You see, folks, when you got God in your life, this world's going to know that this soon. They're going to see it in you.
Amen.
And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him the overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he made him an overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in a house and in the field. Remember what we read to you just a few moments ago in 26 and 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Sometimes temptations comes at us when we do our best try to get away from it. Okay? That's why Paul began to tell us, as folks, he said, watch out. He said, lest the devil come and get an advantage of us. He says, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Don't allow yourself to be put in certain situations. Don't allow yourself to be put in certain places that would begin to bring on temptation. Sometimes now, this is what I'm about to say. Sometimes we blame things even on the devil that we do or say. Okay? Let me say that again. Yeah. Sometimes we blame the devil for things we do ourselves.
Amen.
All right? That's what I'm talking about now. And so here is Joseph now. He's got down into Potiphar's house. God began to bless him. Potiphar put him as an overseer of his house. And look what happened. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, and well-favored. What does Paul say? When I would do good. When I would do good. What is it? Come on. When I would do good, what? Evil is what?
Evil's present.
Evil's present. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how godly you are. I don't care how far, how close you live to God. You go to do good, I promise you this, the devil's going to be out there somewhere to do his level best to try to take you out of that state. Try to rob, steal, and kill from you the joy that Jesus has placed in your heart. Look what happened here. Okay? Time of temptation. Begin to look at the ways of temptation. And Kevin, sing me down if I get going too long. Verse 7. And it says, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife. Now, women, now, ladies, look at me. Look at me. I'm going to say some things tonight. I'm not picking on you, okay? I'm not picking on you. I'm not just, what does the Bible say? All right? Men just as guilty as women are. Don't misunderstand. I'm not picking on the ladies tonight. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Number one, the ways of temptation. What is the gateway to the soul?
Eyes.
What does Jesus say? If the eye be single, then the whole body is what? Is full of light. Now there's a whole lot more goes into that, but guys, be careful what we allow ourselves to see and look at.
Amen.
Now sometimes we can't help what we see.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can't help what we look at. Things happen, okay? We're living in a world full of the devil himself. And it's getting worse as the days go by. We can't help what we look at a lot of times. But let us, as I said a while ago, let us not begin to put ourselves in situations that we know bad things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay? Joseph had nothing to do with this right here. Here he is. He's the overseer of Potiphar's house. He's the leader of the house, if you will. Now, guess what? Number one, visual. The temptations first come, again, through the mind, but the mind begins to see things through the eyes. So the ways of temptation, you see here in verse 6 that the Bible says he was a goodly man. In verse 7, you'll see where the master's wife, Potiphar's wife, began to look on him. And now how many have been drawn away by the lust of the eyes?
Yeah.
Think about it. And I'm not just talking about, even not simply just the flesh itself, but things that we see.
Yep.
If you desire with all of your heart, you want a new vehicle. You go and you want a new vehicle, you just, your whole day is consumed. You look on the internet, you look at the newspaper, you look at magazines, your whole life is consumed. You want a new vehicle. I promise you this, everywhere you go, the devil's going to have a new vehicle run by your way. Somewhere throughout the day, you're going to see new vehicles drive by your way. If your desire is you want a brand new house, everywhere you go, they're going to be putting up a house somewhere on the hillside.
Amen.
Why is that? Because the devil is trying his best to rob, to steal. If he can get your mind, that's why all things start in the mind. If he can get your thought process on the things of this world, then that's the less time you're thinking about God.
Yeah. Amen.
Am I making sense to you?
Yeah.
Am I making sense to you? All right. So what happened right here? Here's Joseph doing the best he can, not bothering anybody. Going through his daily business, doing his thing that he needs to be doing. And here is sin over here on the other side. Here is temptation over here waiting to sink her claws into him. Okay? Not only did he fall into the sin, the temptation of despair with his brothers thinking, well, he done lost all hope. But now think about this. Again, I don't want to get too provocative, please. And I'm not trying to get too out there either. But this thing's real. Okay? This thing's real. You don't hear this much in churches anymore, but it's real.
Yeah.
All right? Not only did he have the temptation of despair, but now he's falling into temptation. He's faced with temptation of delight.
Yeah.
What is delight? Delight is simply to give great pleasure or to be highly pleased with.
Yeah.
Here it is. Joseph is there. And look what happened. Let's read a little further. Okay? And it came, verse 7 again, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But what? But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth means to know, not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Joseph talking about himself. Neither hath he kept back anything from me, but what? He's given me charge. He's given me liberty. He's given me command of everything in this house except for one thing. And honey, that's you. Okay? I've got the right to do anything I want to. What I say, the servants have to do this. I've got command of everything but you. And wives, you feel the same way that about your husband. And husbands, you feel the same way about that about your wife.
Yeah.
If you don't, you better.
Yeah.
Okay? You're out of order if you don't.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
But, and here's this woman now. She's already got her mind has been made up. She's looking at Joseph, saying that he's a good person. And now she's conspired this plan to get what she wants. And Joseph said, I'm not going to do it. But now look at this. Not only did she have the ways of temptation through the visual part of it, but look at the time. Look at the time mentality. Look at the timing of this. Where's Potiphar at? Read verse 9 and 10. Potiphar's gone. You see, the devil don't come at the whole crowd.
No.
The devil don't come at the family. The devil don't come at the group. The devil don't come at the pair or the couple. The devil comes individually. He comes individually. The devil comes to try to get you. Because if he can get you, then when he's got you, then what are you going to do? You're going to begin to stir and play in that mess until you affect somebody else.
Yeah.
And then they get somebody else. And it's a chain reaction. It keeps moving on and on and on. What did Joseph here do? He said, I'm not going to do it, boys. I ain't doing it. The timing was there. The opportunity was there. Okay? He could have done it. He could have went and done the things that most people would have done. But listen to me. Too many times. That's why we got to keep ourselves. That's why the old saying that the idle mind is the devil's playground. That's why we got to keep ourselves focused every moment of every day of our life. We got to keep ourselves on guard every day. Because I promise you this, folks, not just in this type of temptation, but temptation in general. Because we're all tempted in many different ways. What you're tempted with may not be what I'm tempted with, and vice versa. Right. But we're all tempted in some way. Temptation is a tool that the devil begins to use. Why? What is the devil's number one priority in a Christian's life?
Destroy.
Absolutely. If Satan can begin to take us out of the hand of God, if Satan had the opportunity and the authority to pluck us out of God's hand, there'd be no Christian alive on planet Earth today. Thank God above he don't have that right or that authority.
Amen.
He cannot do that. But that's what he wants to do. Because again, if he can't control you, if he can't condemn you, then he'll do his best to try to confuse you.
Yeah.
Same thing happened to Eve. Same thing happened to Eve. Eve, number one, was perfect. No sin in her life.
Yeah.
And at the same time, there was no sin in the garden. Trent, there was no sin anywhere there on planet Earth at that time.
Perfect environment.
Well, what happened? She also never heard a lie before either. She never was confused before either. What did the devil do? He didn't come and try to convince her that he wasn't God. He didn't try to convince her that God didn't tell the truth. He just tried to sow that little seed of doubt.
Yeah.
Did God really mean that? God, he knows that you would just be God like him, knowing good from evil. He began to tempt her of what God had told her not to do. And when that happens, when temptation comes, you got three options. Okay? You can, number one, you can give in to it. You can give in to it. I'm standing here before you this evening. I'm guilty.
Yeah.
There's times in my life I've given in to temptation. I'm guilty.
Yeah.
Okay? You can fight it. And you better bring your lunch because it's going to be an all-day job.
Amen.
Okay? Or you can overcome it, not in yourself.
Amen.
Because the Bible says that greater is he that's in you than he that is in this world. If God, 8:31 of Romans says, if God be for us,
who can be against us?
If we know that and we can quote that, we can begin to see what the Bible says about that, then why in the name of God do we not act upon that? Still back in the flesh realm, folks. I'm not giving excuses. I'm not giving you a right to justify what we do. But the reality of it is, we fight it every day of our life. That's why Paul said in 7 and 18 in the book of Romans, that is in this flesh, that is in me in this flesh, what? Dwelleth no good thing. Why? This is what I told you at the beginning. 51 and 5 of the book of Psalms. David said, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin that my mother conceived me. Not only did he have the temptation of a visual, he also got the temptation of versatility, which is despair and also delight. He also had the timing part of it. Temptation will come a lot of times. Temptation comes the strongest when we're the weakest. There's times in my life I can go through the whole week. Monday through Saturday. It'd be a little here, a little there. But come Saturday night, it's like I enter a warfare.
Right.
Or come early Sunday morning, it's like I enter a warfare.
Yeah.
Everything I go to do, my mind is bombarded on every single why. Folks, the devil knows what he does. I'm not trying to, please don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to lift that rascal up.
No.
But the devil knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
The very moment you try to go to do something for God, I promise you this, the devil will do his level best to rob you and keep you from doing that. There's a choice that we make. Are we going to kick him out of our life? Are we going to overcome it? Are we going to fight him? Or are we just going to wave the white flag and say, I surrender, give in to it? That's easy. It's easy to give in to it. It's easy to give in to it, folks. Okay? But what else? Did she quit because he said no?
No.
Listen to what the Bible says. Let us read on. Verse 10. And let's read verse 9 again. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph said, how can I do this? God's been too good to me. God's blessed me too much, and he's given me so much. How can I do this thing that would bring sin in my life against him? Let us read on. She didn't have that same mindset, though. Okay? She didn't go to the same church that he did to, all right? She listened to the other garbage, then preaching those other versions of the Bible, if you will. Let us read on.
Yeah.
And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph, what? What's that mean? Well, what is the devil sometimes? What is the devil all the time?
Persistent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you defeat him today, because you kick his teeth out today, folks, he's going to get a new set of teeth and he's coming right back at you.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm.
All right? He ain't got sense enough to leave us alone.
Yeah.
I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. If you are a child of God, I promise you this, you're going to fight the devil until the day you die.
Amen.
He's persistent. He doesn't give up. And she come to him day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. Not only is it visual, not only is it versatile, not only is it timely, it is persistent. But it's also the ways of temptation is also aggressive. It's also aggressive. It's going to fight tooth and toenail.
Yeah.
Temptation is going to come at us stronger than anything in our life most of the time. We're tempted on every hand. Okay? How we handle that, how we begin to face that will then determine how strong of a Christian we are. If you always give in to it, I promise you this, you're going to be weak as branch water.
Yeah.
Okay? God asked Satan a question one day. He said, listen here, Hoss. Have you considered my servant Job? He's an upright man, a man of integrity. Have you considered him? God knows what type of Christian you are.
Yeah. Amen.
No matter what Kevin thinks, no matter what I think, no matter what anybody thinks, God knows what kind of... And whether you want to believe it or not, whether you want to be honest with me or not, you know what kind of Christian you are.
Yeah.
Whether you come and put up a facade, or whether you come and put on a show, you come and put on your Christian attitude before you walk in a church house, or whether you have it every day of your life. Hey, folks, Christianity is not a light switch. It's not a set of clothes we put on and take off.
Yeah.
It's not a light switch we turn on and turn off.
Amen.
If that's all you got, you're not saved. Come into the altar and pray right now.
Amen.
But temptation is one of the key weapons the devil has. And it's aggressive. What happened? Look here. This woman didn't quit. She was persistent. She was conniving. And she was aggressive. And it came to pass after about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. The very moment you isolate yourself, the very moment, even in the best of intentions you got, the very moment you find yourself isolated, the devil's going to pounce. The devil's going to come. We've got to guard against everything in our life. Billy Graham made a statement one time years and years ago. Call it foolish, call it silly, call it crazy, call it what you want to. But he said, I'll never enter an elevator.
That's right.
When it's just me and a woman on the elevator.
Amen.
You say, preacher, why would he say? Folks, don't allow yourself to be put in a precarious situation. Even in your best of intentions, even with as godly thinking as you can have, this world don't have that. And at the very moment that they can see you in a precarious situation, you may be as innocent as a little lamb. Okay? But the lies this world can tell on you, even though it's a lie, would destroy your witness to this world. You can be as innocent as you can be. You can be just that. You absolutely nothing whatsoever. But lies will destroy your reputation. And listen to me. When your reputation is destroyed, your witness is gone in that area. Okay? Well, let's move on. This woman was aggressive. She also came. Temptation is aggressive. So she went in. Nobody there. So she tried it again. And look what happened. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out. She was not going to give up. And what happened? She lied on Joseph. And what happened to Joseph? You read a little further in this chapter. When Potiphar come home, even though he thought the world of Joseph, even though Joseph was the leader and the captain of his own house, he was lied on. He was thrown in prison. I believe for what, for 2 years?
Yes, sir.
He was down there for something that he did not do. But I told you what to go. You live for God the very best you can. You serve God with every ounce you've got in you. And I promise you this, Jesus Christ will be with you every step of the way.
Amen.
Not saying you won't have to suffer in this life. I'm not saying you won't have to struggle in this life. But the reality of it is, folks, this world don't like us. This world wants nothing to do with us. If this world could, they'd put a gag on us, everyone, put us in straitjackets over in a corner.
They would.
They would close every church house on planet Earth if they had the right, if they could.
Yeah.
But thank God I serve a God bigger than that.
Amen.
The woes of temptation. Three things. The woes of temptation. Number one, the ways of temptation, again, are visual, are versatile, are timely, are persistent and aggressive. The woes of temptation. Number one, when you yield to that temptation, whatever it may be, whether it's of the flesh, of the eye, or the pride of life, whatever category it is, when you lose the trust of people around you, okay, when you lose that trust that you have with them, it is almost virtually impossible to get that trust back. It may come in time that they may put it, they may gain a little bit of it to you, but you'll never reach back to where you was at before. People may disagree with what I'm about to say, but listen to me. When David done what he done, that broke a lot of ties with David. When he done what he done. Yeah. David never got back to his full ability that he once had before.
Sure
did,
bro.
Okay? I've had preachers look at me and tell me I'm wrong. I had people disagree with me on that. But David never got back to the position that he was at the very beginning. Because of what happened? Because he yielded to the temptation. You lose trust. You lose trust. Number two, when you yield to that temptation, your heart is full of loneliness. Think about it. Think about it in your own life. When the conviction power of God comes upon you and tells you not to do it, and you push it off to the side, and you do it anyway, what kind of feeling do you have? You're just as empty and dry as a last year's bird's nest. You lose trust. You have loneliness of heart when you yield to that temptation. And number three, when we begin to yield to that temptation, the reality of it is, this may not set well with some of you. This may not set well with people that listen to it on the internet. This may not set well with others along the way. But when you, me, whoever it is, yield to temptation, the reality of it is, we become the laughing stock of the devil. Because when he begins to tempt us, And we push back the power of God, we push back the conviction of God, and we fall in to the snare of that temptation, we allow the members of this body to yield to that temptation, whatever it might be, the devil sits back and he laughs at us. because he says, I got you.
Yeah.
One more time. And when we fall to that, folks, our witness, our power begins to weaken little by little by little.
That's true.
And the more we do it, the weaker we get.
Yeah.
That's why. That's why. Temptation. Jesus told them point blank.
Watch.
Point blank. Watch and pray.
Yeah.
Why did he say that? He knew what they was going to be facing.
Yep.
Jesus has got the ability to look things that we cannot see. He's got the ability to look into tomorrow. And he knows what's going to happen to us before we ever get there. How many times in our own life have God begin to hold things back, push things to the side, put his hand up and said, no, you're not going to come at them with this. And we know nothing about it. Temptation is out there coming at us, but Jesus, Paul began to say in 10 and 13, listen to me, folks. He said, I will not have you tempted above that you're able, but God is faithful. Who will not have you tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. He never told me he would move that away from me. He never told me he would stop that temptation from coming. He told me he would make a way that when it does come, that I can move away from it. Okay? Temptation's coming. All right? It's a reality. It's coming to us. If you've not suffered temptation today, hang on. The day's not over yet. We still got about 4 hours left. All right? It's coming. You can give into it. You can fight it.
Yes, sir.
You can overcome it. If you yield to it, you lose trust. You have loneliness of heart. And you become a laughingstock of the devil.
Yeah.
Listen to me. The lure of temptation, the lures of temptation, there are many out there, folks. There's many out there. The devil, whatever, he knows what you're weakest at. He knows what your weak points are. Pray to God that he would strengthen the weak areas of your life.
Yeah.
Whatever it might be.
Yeah.
How can we... Preacher, you went over the different parts of it. Let me tell you this. We can handle temptation with the help of God. We can handle, even when opportunity may be out there, we can handle sometimes that opportunity. My, listen to what I'm about to say. When temptation meets opportunity, you better make sure you're strong. You better make sure that you got the power of God in your life.
Yeah.
Because when temptation comes with opportunity, right here, Joseph was tempted day after day. But when that temptation met up with that opportunity, nobody's home.
Yeah.
Potiphar's gone.
Yeah.
No, the Bible specifically says there was no man in the house.
Yeah.
When temptation meets opportunity, bad things happen.
Amen.
David, had he went back to war where he was supposed to have been, he would have not have been where he was at. Temptation, opportunity come up against him at the same time, and what happened to him? He caved into it. Be careful. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation.
Yes, sir.
How can we overcome it, preacher? Listen to me. Number one, we've got to make right choices. We've got to be decisive in our own thinking. We've got to make for sure in our life. Number one, we're led by the Spirit of God. Because God, the grace of God will never lead you where the power of God won't protect you.
Yeah.
Okay? God will always lead us in the right way. And always be honest with ourselves. Too many times people fall into temptation and people begin to suffer these things because they're not honest. They're not honest with God and they're not honest with themselves.
Yeah.
When you lose your integrity, folks, you're in a bad state of affairs.
Yeah.
And then something that, my goodness gracious, Kevin, I don't think a lot of Christians in the world today have a whole lot of. You study the Bible for three reasons. Number one, you study for knowledge. You got to know what it says. Number two, you study for understanding. Once you got that knowledge, then what does it mean? Number three, the third reason you study the Word of God is for wisdom. 1 in 5 of the book of James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him what?
Ask God.
Let him read more. Let him pray more. Let him ask of God that what? That giveth to all men liberally. Okay? Means he's not going to hold back nothing. He upbraideth not. Means he's not going to scold you and scorn you and wear you out and make fun of you for asking. And what does the Bible say? What is it? It says, and it shall. Shall's positive terms.
Yeah.
It shall be given to him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, Kevin, they have some knowledge. A lot of people, they have some understanding. When it comes to wisdom, what is wisdom, preacher? Wisdom is having that discernment. Been able to take that knowledge and that understanding, put them together, gain wisdom, and apply it to our lives. Without discernment, without wisdom, listen to me, you're weak as branch water. Okay? Preachers have some knowledge. Preachers have some understanding. But very few preachers out there have a thimble full of wisdom.
Amen.
How do you know that, preacher? They'll spend 15 minutes preaching their guts out and the next 45 minutes turning down everything to preach because they won't sit down and shut up.
Amen.
How many times have you been to church and they preach a heart out and whatever for a little while and then they spend the next few, as long as God's on them, and then when God leaves, they ain't got sense enough to sit down because they want to put on a show. They want everybody to know that they're there. Why? Because the temptation is, I want people to see how smart I am. I want people to know that I'm here. You see, temptation is more than just of this flesh. And the devil will use it over and over again. We're not ignorant. Unless he should gain an advantage of us, we're not ignorant of his devices. Why does he not change? He does the same thing that he done in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. He has not changed his ways. Why? Because humanity doesn't get it. It still works on them. This is teaching, not preaching in it, but listen, so many times in our life, temptation's coming. Temptation's coming. All right? But do we make the right choices? Are we decisive in our thinking? Are we discerning whether it's of God or whether it's not? Are we discerning the right of, is it of ourselves or not?
There you go.
This flesh wants to do it.
We'll justify it, brother.
This flesh wants to yield to it, whatever it may be. Listen to me again. I'm not trying to get provocative here, but how easy would it have been for Joseph to go and do what that woman wanted him to do? How easy would it have been? Nobody was there. Nobody has to know. But there's a God sitting on the circle of the earth right now looking down. And he knows. Doesn't matter if I know. Doesn't matter if the pastor knows. Doesn't matter if the moderator knows. Doesn't matter if the Joe up the road or the Jill down the road knows. God in heaven knows.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
And then you got to be steadfast. Once you get your mind made up, it's easy. It's easy to cave in under pressure. Because what did Nebuchadnezzar do? Boy, Satan will crank that fire up.
Yep.
You can say no. You can say, I'm not going to do it. But he's going to keep coming.
Yeah.
He's going to keep coming. And it's going to keep getting stronger. And going to keep getting stronger. And going to keep getting hotter and hotter and hotter. He ain't going to quit.
Yeah.
You've got to be steadfast. Unmovable. 15 and 57. Always in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
And then it may come to the point. Separate yourself.
Yes, sir.
Now separate yourself. Joseph had to separate himself from that situation. Okay? Don't worry about what you leave behind. All right? The world will take what you leave behind and try to use it against you.
Yeah.
All right? But God knows your heart.
Yeah.
God knows your heart. Okay? And I'll leave you with this. Kind of close this out. I could go on and on with this, but it's time to quit. Maybe a little funny, but nevertheless, here it comes. Remember your first kiss? Think back. Remember your first kiss? Scared you, maybe? Didn't know what it was about? All right? Think back. 8-year-old boy. His daughter, yeah, right, okay. His sister going out on her date. All right? Never been kissed before. So she went out. He heard her coming home. Her date was bringing her home. He climbed out the window, went up, hit on top of a tree. He wanted to see what was going to happen. He was just as excited as she was. So she got there, and the date come out and began to say, well, inquired of her if he could kiss her and so forth. She said, wait just a minute, I'm a Christian. I'm a godly girl. I got to pray to God. Her brother is up there in the window, up there on the top of the tree, just watching, just waiting to see what's going to happen. Okay? So she said, Father, Father, up above, shall I kiss the one I love? And she heard a voice, Sister, sister, down below, pucker up and let it go. All right. So, whatever it may be in your life, find yourself in a situation to where you are strong enough, okay? Not like the little brother in the top of the tree, all right? But find yourself in a situation to where you put your faith and put your trust in you. Just thought we need something a little spiritual right there. Is that okay? All right. May God bless you. Hope I've said something to help you. Folks, this thing's real. So may God bless you tonight.